Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, No BS Bishop, here to serve, here to chat with you, here to unpack and carry on about the subject of my life, and that is love. I want it to be the subject of your life, but you don't have a podcast to do, and I do, and I have a ministry that I carry on. And my intention is to carry on the remaining days teaching, preaching, suggesting, commanding, whatever else I can do to get the word out that love is going to save the day. Love never fails. Love is the only credible option for how we live our life and go forward in this life. And to that end, learning love, living love, is not just a shrug of the shoulders and a wink. It's a study. It's a commitment. And it's a lifelong passion. That's who I am, and that's why I'm here. And so that's why we'll discuss, as much as you can discuss with me while I've got the microphone, we'll discuss love today, all right? So before we get to that discussion, I'd like to lead us in the Lord's Prayer and then offer you Love's Creed, a little something I've written to challenge people to sustain a paragraph definition of what love should and could sound like, all right? Lord's Prayer, let's go for it right away, shall we? If you know it, join me. If you don't know it, just listen in. Most prayed prayer in human history, and it's jam-packed in a small paragraph with meditation, contemplation, and power. Jesus taught us these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks, Jesus. You sure did pass along a powerful heritage just in those words. So when I don't know how to pray, at least I will pray that prayer. I got to tell you, and I don't know how to pray a lot of my life. And I think a lot of us are in that boat. Well, and to the next phase of what I do here regularly is I want to lead you in Love's Creed. It's a powerful way to think through how do I love, why do I love, and what do I love. All right, so let me read it to you. Then I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Listen in. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, now repeat after me. Try to savor it the best way you can. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, if you want a copy of that, send me an email, randydeanministries@gmail.com. And Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, all lowercase, at gmail. be a pleasure to send you a copy. And to see to it that you got something in your pocket or on your sun visor in your car, maybe on your bathroom mirror, somewhere, put it in your phone, your device. Remind yourself, because there's a lot of temptations in this world, aren't there, to go to hate? A lot of temptations and slippery passages of life where we slip and fall on our backside or on our front side and we knock ourselves out. It's time to love, folks. It's time to give up on the rat race of hate and give in to the joy and the significance of love. And what you hear me say here often is love is a lifelong journey. I want to make sure that today I will review a basis of why I'm here and why I do this every week. And that is this lifelong journey that I base everything I do here on three essential principles. And the first is that when we love, it creates a value. It creates value around us and in us, where there might not otherwise be some intrinsic values going on. Here's an example. I was sharing some of this with a group that I was teaching this to the other day, and that when I was a little guy, a long time ago, in the early 60s, some relative made a little sock monkey for me. If you know what that is, you know how simple and homemade that little sock monkey was for me. It became a treasure to me as a little boy, little kid. And that sock monkey got dirty. That sock monkey got stinky. And that was in the day when Ringer washing machines was the only thing you had to clean stuff with. Well, my mom was smart enough to know if she put that sock monkey through a Ringer washing machine, sock monkey would just be a rag that you'd throw away. So that little sock monkey never got washed. Now, here's my point. I loved sock monkey. I loved that little bugger. And that love from my little boy heart created a value in that stinky little sock monkey. All right, so love creates a value where there may not otherwise be a value. Now, carry it forward into adult life, and I'm challenging all of us to think through how we give value through love. The simplest thing can become a memorial. It can become a touch point for our life if we love that. My wife, who is listening right now, she loves dirt therapy. That means gardening. She loves get out and get her fingernails dirty out in the gardens. That she puts a value in that. Now, that's no value for me. I'm happy to help her do what she needs done for heavy lifting of my side of it. But the point is, she gives value to her gardens because of her love. And so whatever you love, value grows there. Now, the more essential part of what I want to make sure you hear me say is where, who and what we love creates value. When we love ourselves, for instance, we're creating a value internally. We're regulating our internal world. When we put a value on others, we're creating a value. Or, unfortunately, we're taking value away if we're not loving. All right. Love creates a value where there may not otherwise be some intrinsic value. The second principle that I base what I'm doing here on is we all choose who and what we'll love. And out of that, nobody can love life the way you love life. So get busy loving. Morgan Freeman from Shawshank Redemption said, get busy living. Well, get busy living or dying. And we need to learn how to get busy loving. Get busy loving and know that there's just you that has the fingerprint of love coming from you in ways that nobody else can replicate or duplicate. That love from you is beautiful. Be that. Now, don't excuse yourself by being mediocre and lukewarm and wishy-washy about your love and saying, well, no, that's just the way I love. That's another reason I'm here. I want to challenge you. I'm going to poke that bear and say, come on, let's rise to the occasion of love and not excuse our way out of it. Let's rise to the occasion of doing the heavy lifting of love and exercising ourselves forward in love and not not finding reasons why I just don't want to do that hard work. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is there's a fingerprint of love in your life that's waiting for expression. And to find that expression is not only helpful for the big wide world around you, I think that's obvious, but what's less obvious is that it's so healing and beneficial to us. The more we exercise love, the more we become healthy and strengthened emotionally, psychologically, and even physically, because love will move you physically. Love will move you emotionally. Love will move you intellectually. And to that end, remember, there's nobody can love like you. So get busy loving. Get busy loving and living. And the third basis of why I'm here with this message on love is that the human condition is hardwired for love, to love and to be loved. We're all here to be alive for love. So never set in neutral. Don't just let the engine run while your car is in neutral. Put this emotional, intellectual challenge of love in gear. Sustain, even if it's small movements, sustain a movement and emotion toward love and loving. Just don't hesitate. Don't pull back. Lean in on love. And as we lean in on love, then love becomes more and more of a holy habit. I believe in habits. I just want those habits to be holy. I want those habits to be alive and positive and strengthening, not robbing me or others of the quality of their life. And one thing I know about love is it will increase the quality of all involved. To the degree we love, the degree as our quality of life grows. So now, is this hard? Yes, it's hard. I refute the notion that love is some kind of rainbow and unicorns and candy and no. Love is difficult. Why? Because life is difficult. M. Scott Peck said that in his book, the famous classic called The Road Less Traveled. Life is difficult. He borrows that from some other thinking around the world and philosophy and psychology. Trying to live life as if it isn't difficult ends up being a dismissive and derisive way of looking at the world, and it becomes so negative and debilitating. Life is difficult. That's a given, not the exception. It is the rule. And all philosophy, all psychological study, all spiritual notions, whether it's Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Islam, you name it, everything Jewish, I mean, every religious pursuit on some level has to do with challenging the reality that life is difficult. So from that difficulty, we have choices, don't we? And out of that difficulty, we get to choose. How will I move this life forward in my growth in this world? Now, we can go the lazy route, the easy peasy route. People say love is easy peasy. No, that's not true. It's patently false. But if you want to go the easy peasy route of laziness and just give up on love, well, then all of us suffer to some degree or another, especially you or me. If I give up on love, I will suffer. I will suffer loneliness and pain and bitterness and unforgiveness and unkindness. And the person suffering most will be me. The person suffering most will be you or whoever gives up and stops attempting to love. Through the years as a pastor, I've heard people out of a divorce or a broken romantic relationship saying, I'll never love again. And I jump in there fast and I say, no, that's not true. You will love again. that you're going to love something. You may end up just loving your cat, or you may end up just loving your dog, or you may end up just loving your car or your pickup, but you're going to love. So since you will love, because the human condition is hardwired for love, why not pick a quality object of your love, such as your neighbor, such as a human being, and such as especially that human you look at in the mirror. And when you do choose a quality object for your love, you give rise to the quality of your life. So those are the principles upon which what I do here is based. It's the love creates a value. Nobody can love like you love. And that number three, the human condition is hardwired for love. Now, I want to repeat something that I haven't said in quite a while, and that is Mother Teresa said once. Now, she was a Calcutta saint of feeding the poor, giving medical help to the homeless and the poor. Now, when you're talking about the poverty of Calcutta, especially in the day that Mother Teresa was active, it was severe. It was catastrophic. The death rate amongst the poor in the streets of Calcutta was just horrible, depressing to even consider. But she decided Calcutta was her call. In fact, people always said, I want to do what you're doing. And she said, well, then find your own Calcutta, which is to say, find your passion. Find out where you're passionate, what you're passionate about, who you're passionate about, and then go live your Calcutta. So Mother Teresa, firsthand acquaintance with starvation, firsthand life of dealing with the hungry, I mean, like dying of malnutrition hungry, not just craving a candy bar, but they're craving a drink of milk, a drink of any kind of protein so that you could live another day. That's the kind of hunger she was talking about. But she said of love, listen to this carefully, there is more hunger for love in this world than there is for food. Let that sink in. There's more hunger for love in this world than there is for food. Once again, the context of her definition of hunger is, if I don't eat today, I may be dead by tomorrow. That's what she saw with her eyes and lived with her experience. But she knew that the greater hunger in the human condition was for love. I agree with that. There's no statistic I've ever read or found that says otherwise, because I think it just about anything can be related back to the starvation for love in the human condition. Recognizing that humanity, when loved, genuinely loved, they will eat. I mean, like physical food. When love is present for humanity, we will be nourished. We will be sustained. So the answer for anything and everything in terms of the threat to human life, it's love. Somebody, somewhere, love, and not just out of some ordinary condition. So when I'm here week in and week out, and I'm talking about this subject of love, I'm not just trying to fill airspace. In the United States today, and I'm recording this April 15th, 2026, tax day, the United States is on the cusp of living or dying. We got to get busy loving, or we're going to get busy dying. And out of the cusp that we're living, it's making choices about love here. And when I make a choice for love in my living in this nation as I do, I'm not saying that I agree with everybody. I'm not going to say, okay, I love you, therefore I agree with your political stand. No. That's not love. That's codependency. And codependency is an illness. It's a sickness. And hi, I'm Randy. I'm a codependent. And I'm in recovery because codependency can kill you. It can eat your life up to the point of you just flopping over and dying. But when I say love is the answer, whatever the question may be, I'm talking to a nation right now that is living out Mother Teresa's adage. There's more starvation for love than there is for food. And when we rise to the occasion of love, I'm here just proposing to you that rising to the occasion of love is not a sudden free fall. It's a step-by-step process. It's an internal dialogue where we are regulating and discussing with ourselves, how do I want to live? What quality of life will I choose? Now, there's a whole lot of us mistakenly thinking that if I can just change the White House, then I can change the nation. Bam! Wrong answer. Change your house. Change your internal reality. And sure, remain politically involved. Remain politically informed. Remain politically educated. I'm a big proponent of all of that. But don't so sell your soul into a system that is built on hatred, built on the us versus them mentality. If your soul gets trapped there, then love is, it's on the outside knocking on the door saying, let me in, because you're dying. On the inside there, when you live in the us versus them hatred cycle of this world, you're dying. And love is knocking on the door to give you a drink of water, give you a protein drink so you can live again. So remaining alive to love is how I go after what I'm doing here. And I have to return to a commitment I've made that my life has just been so otherwise caught in other pursuits. I don't know how else to say this shortly here, but I do want to do more interviews here because there are interviews in my podcast archives that I encourage you to go back and look at those, because I'm talking to people about how we live life for love in practical ways, in various manners and means by which love can be exercised in a day-to-day world. Now, part of what I do as a pastor and bishop of 50 years is I'm spending my life in the current times in a pursuit for people who I call spiritual refugees. These are the members of the United States of America who have walked away from organized church up to the tune of 40 to 45 million people since the turn of this century. Formal religious practices in the United States is going the way of the dinosaurs. It's going the way of extinction. We're watching it slide away. And I used to say a lot, we're being blindsided by a snail. And this snail is ever more in aim for the exit from churches and synagogues and other formal places of religious practice. Now, what do you do in the face of all of that? What should I do? Here I am, 73 years of age, and given my life to pastoral ministry, my graduate work, my undergraduate work. It's all been about how do I get to be a better pastor? Now, what do I do at 73? Well, I'll tell you what I won't do. I won't sit home and watch The Price is Right all day long. Even though I like The Price is Right. Sorry, don't tell that to anybody. It's just my secret. But I'm not going to spend my life doing nothing about this earth-shattering change. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be here every week, and I'm going to talk about love, because love is the answer, whatever the question. But the answer is harder, more specific, more challenging than what we have ever thought possible. It is going to require of us so much change of perception, how that as we thump our Bibles and tell the world how bad they are, Excuse me, sorry. As we thump our Bibles and tell the world how bad they are, I'm here to tell you, we're going to have to find a way to clear our throat. Maybe that's why I just had that coughing moment. Clear our throat and tell the world how loved they are. And then demonstrate how loved they are. Loved by a God of love. That love is God and God is love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Now listen to me carefully. I'm talking about a love that requires of us dying to ourselves. Now, I'm talking to the pew dwellers. I'm talking to the church dwellers, former and present, that our change is going to ask of us and demand of us something more than just some kind of casual, okie dokie, I'll try to love. Well, that's not gonna turn this around. The authentic spirituality of what used to be known as the church in the United States of America, the authentic spirituality of it, lives or dies in love. And when we discover love, we will rediscover who we are. In fact, there's even a passage in the book of Revelation that says, you have lost your first love. Now that, for me, says it all. Our first love and our first and last love is love of God and love of neighbor and love of enemies. Love. That's it. That's the question. That's the answer, whatever the question may be. So come join me on a journey of love based on those three things I mentioned earlier, based on Mother Teresa's words, which I'll go to another quote by Mother Teresa, and that is this. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Recognizing that every person you meet is in their own form of starvation for love. And I don't care who they are, what they look like, what they make you think they may be or maybe not be. That person is starving for love. Will you give them a Bible verse, wrap it up like a rock and chunk it at them to stone them to death? Or will you give them love? Will I give them love? Biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. This principle of love is not going to just magically happen. And the clock on all of our lives is ticking. Now, I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but I'm saying the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time. You've got the time that you have in front of you right now. This is your time. This is my time. May we rise to the shining of love, to be kind, to love more, and to love now. All right, before I take you to the three most holy, beautiful, magical words in the human language, let's breathe a minute, shall we? Let's take in a good cleansing breath. On the count of three, inhale as much as you can. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. Knowing how to breathe daily with a serenity, a repose, a kindness, a stillness, could save your mental and physical health. Train yourself. Live that way. Bring yourself back to the square one of peace. And now, with that peace, tell somebody, somewhere, somehow, I love you. It's hard, it's awkward, it's startling, and it's necessary. Some people might misuse that, but that's their problem. Don't you be one of those people. You be the one person who says, I'm not going to misuse these holy words. I love you. Get eye contact, slow it down, and make somebody's day, and especially, you might just make your own day. All right, I got to go. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. Ain't no BS in here. I looked at the computer screen. No BS detected. Now you go out there and make life beautiful through the practice of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.